Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, happy Mother's Day.
Happy belated Mother's Day to everyone listening, especially if you're a mom. If you're not a mom, that's fine. Happy Mother's Day to you, too.
You're sort of like the mother of this podcast.
You know, I like to think that. Many people are saying Kelly is mommy.
Well, on that note, we've got a lot to talk about in this episode. We are on the verge of the launch of Marigold. We've got some Tokyo Joshi to talk about, some Stardom. We have the fourth Hanakamura Memorial Show coming up. But before we get to that, we, of course, have to get to the plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. The first thing we're going to be talking about today is Tokyo Joshi's Yes Wonderland show, their most recent Cork and Hall show from May 6th in front of 756 fans. Kelly, going to switch it up a little and say, what'd you think of Siri Namba's new gear?
I liked it. I felt like there was a lot of just like freshness to this show. There was a lot of them starting new little things, such as Up Up Girls Wolfpack.
Yeah. Has that been a known thing that there's a separate
grouping? I was not aware of
Up Up Girls. Because when they showed up, I think they said something of Mr. Haku on commentary was like, oh, yes, of course, the other Up Up Girls. And I was like, excuse me? The Up Up Girls number two.
Yeah, this was news to me. I was not expecting Up Up Girls Wolfpack to show up. I certainly wasn't expecting one of them to be rocking a recorder.
Played with the nose.
Yeah, like, what the hell?
So that was, yes, Namba's new gear, very, I would say, futuristic, if I had to pick a adjective to describe it. Well, but what do you think of the show overall?
Overall, the show was pretty good. I think, yeah, it definitely picked up in the back half, but I thought the front half of the show was a lot of fun, too.
I thought it was fine. I think without the back half of it, or if the back half had not been that as good as it was, I think it would have been probably one of their lower Cork and Hall shows.
Yeah, for sure.
And brought up a lot of interesting sort of thoughts about the promotion in general, which we'll talk about as we get into each individual match. The first match of the evening was a singles match between two of the young wrestlers in the promotion. Shino Suzuki getting her first victory, defeating Toga.
She knows.
She now knows the glory of victory and not just the agony of defeat. Although I believe on this podcast we said she would never win until she brought back the Shino
knee pads. Yeah, I'm a little sad that didn't happen, but you know
which
what?
Didn't happen.
It's all right.
Defeating Toga in 8 minutes and 21 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts about this first match?
I loved this. I thought this was a tremendous opener. More of this. More just singles matches between the rookies to open shows. They both worked really hard. Shino showed a ton of heart and eventually won after surviving Toga's hardest hits. Like I really enjoyed this. It was like a perfect opener. I went 3.5 on it.
I liked it. I had a lot of thought. I was doing a lot of thinking during the match.
You were pondering the orb during the match.
I was pondering the greater wrestling something. I don't know what to say, but I think in wrestling, there should be more randomness. And this came up, I think, because I got spoiled on Shino winning.
Okay.
So I knew she was going to win. And I was just thinking, you know, I think more people or more matches in wrestling should be like people losing. I think people should lose more. This is a weird thing to say, but it feels like oftentimes there's not a lot of randomness. It's like, okay, here's this rookie. They're losing. They're facing someone. But like in regular sports, sometimes you think, oh, this team is so good. This team is so bad. And then it doesn't happen that way. I don't know.
So you want more 1-2-3 kid debuts, essentially.
Not even debuts, but just like from
like that kind of match where it's just like, here comes this person who's definitely a jobber. They're not going to, oh, shit, they won.
Yeah, just because I think it would lend some more reality to it. Now, I know you don't want your stars losing because you don't want people thinking, oh, they're, you know, terrible. But you think about in sport, in basketball, you know, they have March Madness. And sometimes in March Madness, you know, some rinky-dink team wins. And it's like, oh, this is exciting. And it doesn't necessarily diminish, you know, people don't think like Duke, for example, they don't think, oh, after one loss, oh, Duke, they're the worst team. We'll never support them again. It's just like, you know, you don't know. I don't really know what my point is here. But I was just thinking about that.
So did you want Shino to win or lose in this situation?
No, it didn't really have anything to do with this match. Okay. I mean, it was exciting to be like, oh, coming in, you would think, okay, Toga's going to win again. You know, Shino, who's been losing, is going to keep losing. But with this, it's less of a sort of shock because they're both young wrestlers where you're like, oh, of course, Toga lost because, you know, she's still a rookie. And it sort of gives Shino a story. I don't really know what my point is to all of this, but I was just sort of thinking about it. Shino got a big pop at the end for the win.
Yeah, no, she did. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty hot crowd, I have to say. They felt like they were into pretty much everything. So
it was Golden Week and they weren't at work. Of course they were excited.
Yeah, they were hyped up. The next match was a 6-person tag team match. The trio of Kaya Toribami, Moka Miyamoto, and Uta Takami defeated Chika Nanase, Kira Summer, and Mihiro Kiryu in 9 minutes and 43 seconds. Some interesting people in this match. And this was sort of the beginning of some of my thoughts about the company. But Moka really feels like now that Juria is gone, sort of like a woman without a country.
Yeah, they have no idea what to do with her now. And that's really unfortunate. Yeah.
it's, you know, like when Mirai left, it was like, oh, they're breaking up this tag team. And then Daisy Monkey was formed. It was just like, okay, just put another talented wrestler in there. But I'm not sure who they would do that with Mocha.
No.
It feels like, I don't know if it's worth the investment of being like, oh, we'll put someone really good with you. Because Juria was good, but was clearly a sort of rookie. I guess they could put her with another rookie. Like put her with a Toga or something, but she just feels very much now like it was like, okay, you have a purpose in this company. You're tagging with Juria. You're sort of developing this Karate Kids thing. And now she's gone. And it's sort of like, ah, Mocha's just a person on this roster.
She is at the bottom of the toy box now.
That was thought number one, and thought number two was, I hope at some point they try something with Kaya Toribami, because she's, I mean, I know, I think she has outside commitments and things like that, but to be all the way down here with like the basic rookies and like Mihiro feels sort of like, are they ever going to do anything with her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it sucks because she's like had such a clear vision of what she is as a character and a wrestler from the very beginning, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I wish they would do something with her, but it does not seem like they want to. And I really do have to wonder if part of that is because of her obligations as, I think it's a stunt woman, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and it could be because of that. It just seems like, well, on this card, she probably could have been higher up than teaming with largely the, you know, quote unquote, unimportant veterans and the very, very young rookies.
Yeah.
Which
is also... did you watch that? Was she the one that went and fought Ultra Mantis Black?
She is, but I haven't watched it yet. It was on
I haven't either. I forgot about it until just the second.
It was on the Daikaiju Pro 2 show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Was the show a very strange match to wrestle Ultimate back? So I still do have to watch that. I haven't watched it. It is on IWTV, so. It is on my list, but I haven't watched it yet. The next match was a singles match, the returning Yuna Manase defeating Runa Okubo in 5 minutes and 45 seconds. A bit of an extended squash here, but I thought it was a pretty fun match. I thought that Runa showed a lot of fire in this match, really fighting back against Yuna, you know, obviously very young at this point, but starting to feel like she's someone who in the future, maybe not now, but down the line, that they could do something with.
Yeah. I loved the just amount of youthful hubris she showed by trying to beat Manase and with power. It's like, oh, sweetie, that's not going to work. But a really good match. I enjoyed this a lot. I thought it was really fun. And like you said, it was just an extended squash. But hey, sometimes you need matches like that, especially when someone's still so young in their career.
Yeah, and it's also so funny because she came in with Toga, and Toga, the whole thing was like, power, power. But now it's sort of like Runa is getting in on the forearms, where it's like, no, she's maybe the power of...
Yeah.
The group, which is funny to think about. The next match, another singles match, was Maki Ito defeating Haru Kazushiro in 9 minutes and 42 seconds. Kelly, I'm interested to hear what you thought about this match.
I thought Haru was tremendous in this match. I thought her selling kept this match compelling. I thought it was like it could have just been a boring extended squash, but I thought Haru did a really great job keeping things interesting. And like this crop of rookies is really impressing me lately. So I enjoyed this a lot. I went 3.5 on it.
I thought Haru looked very good, but I think one thing that's a bit odd at this point is I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be thinking about Ito at this point. In the promotion, she feels very much disconnected from anything going on.
Yeah, she's just there as like a random roster member now. I don't see her in any sort of important spot anymore at this point. It featured matches, I suppose, but nothing in terms of like storyline or stuff like that.
But it did sort of affect this because I was sort of like, oh, and then at the end, she gave her the speech that was like, you know, even when you lose, you know, people in the audience see you and think of you as a hero. And I was sort of like, that is a good message. I do like that idea. But like, why is this being delivered by Maki Ito, who's largely not here? I don't know. It's just sort of weird where she pops up. She's sort of in positions of importance, but feels like part of something else to me.
I think regardless of how much she's actually around, she still does have that like importance to the roster and stuff. So it does make sense for her to kind of give that speech to Haru and as like as her senpai or whatever.
Yeah, it's just sort of something to keep your eye on, because it's also sort of strange in that it feels to me also in a way that she's sort of peaked in America, in terms of, you know, she works GCW, she has a title. It doesn't feel like it's going to get any bigger, so it doesn't feel like a thing where she would say, okay, I'm leaving Tokyo Joshi. But I don't know. It just feels like this is going to be what it is from now on, this sort of weird gray area of I'm in the promotion, but I'm not really part of the promotion.
I think, yeah, this is what it's going to be, because it's like she... I mean, why not? You know, it's not like GCW can sign her full time. So you might as well just play both of them.
And it seems like AEW is out on her.
I still don't understand why they didn't sign her immediately when she got like one of the most insane reactions.
Yeah, it doesn't really make... I don't know. I can't explain a lot of things.
Here comes Maki Ito. Oh my god, she's instantly more over than most of the roster. Gotta sign Serena Deeb.
Yeah, and push Serena Deeb.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I thought it was good. I like the Runa Yuna squash more, but I like this and I like Haru, who's good, who at the beginning we talked about, I think, was definitely the number three of the group of Toga, Runa, and Haru, but has turned into, you know, a solid rookie.
Oh, for sure.
The next match was a tag team match, the team of Rika Tatsumi and Yuki Aino defeating Palm Harajuku and Raku in 12 minutes and 2 seconds. Kelly, what did you think about this match? I hope it did not put you to sleep like the wrestlers in the match at the beginning of this match.
I mean, it came close. I was getting a little tired. I don't know. I thought this was a fun... It was two halves. You know, you had the comedy half and then the regular match half, and I thought both were solid.
This is when this and the next match were the matches where I was thinking, you know, we had the big show, big Tokyo Joshi show, Miyu and Daisy Monkey sort of moving up into the title positions. Tokyo Joshi, you know, Yuka leaving, Saki Akai leaving, now Kakuta about to leave. Who... Kelly, I'm interested. Maybe you think of more names than I do. Who are the mid-carders now in Tokyo Joshi?
Huh. That's interesting. Because now that you mention it, I don't know. I guess, like, I mean, Kamiyu's in there. I guess Rika Tatsumi's kind of in there. Ayano's in there. Pom and Raku have kind of ended up in that spot.
Because I was thinking about this. I'll just say, I think they have almost no one now.
Yeah.
I would argue Yuki Ayano is one. I would argue that Yuki Kamifuku is another one. You know, I don't think Rika is, just because she has held the title. And true. So I think once you hold the title, it's sort of like, well, you're in the top tier.
Now Kakuta is for the time being.
Yes, but is leaving imminently.
Exactly.
So it's just sort of one of those weird, it feels a bit weird. And this card sort of stood out for me where it was like, okay, I'm watching a lot of matches that are, you know, the undercard was like, these are all undercard workers. And then you sort of got higher up the card and it's still sort of like, well, these aren't really mid-carders. Like Raku and Pom Harajuku, to me, well-liked, many people like them. I don't think they're mid-carders because I don't think they have any expectation of winning matches. Like if you said, okay, I'm going to put Pom Harajuku versus, I don't know, Rika Tatsumi in the middle of the card, you would never think, oh, maybe this is Pom's moment of she's going to win. Like, oh, Pom could win that. You're like, no, Pom's going to lose. So to me, they're lower card, even though people obviously like them and enjoy them a lot. You know, it's just one of those weird things where Tokyo Joshi has done a good job of, you know, moving Miyu up, moving Daisy Monkey up. And it's just been this weird timing thing of like Hikari Noah disappearing, now Kakuta retiring, Saki Akai retiring last year. Like all of these things weirdly have happened at the same time, where I think it will be important for them in the coming months to sort of figure out who's going to be in the middle of that card. Because like I said, once now Kakuta leaves, it's really, to me, Yuki Ayano, it's the two Yukis. Mm-hmm. Yuki Ayano and Yuki Kamifuku, and that's it, really.
Yeah, it's very strange. I hadn't thought about that until you brought that up, but yeah, no, their middle card is just gone.
Because, like, also think about it like this. Who right now is a realistic challenger to the international princess title? Because that's what I sort of think it is. It is sort of this mid-card title in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yuki Arai's probably above that, but like, who are the logical challengers in Tokyo Joshi for that title?
Whew, not many. Shit, I guess Maki Ito might be a mid-carder now.
I guess. I mean, I would think she's sort of a mid-carder in a different way.
Yeah.
Anyway, it isn't necessarily an issue. It's just something where it's like, oh, okay, so they did a good job elevating people. You know, they've had some sort of bad luck with retirements and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That, you know, just something to keep an eye on, to be like, someone's got to stick into this. And maybe it's one of these, you know, rookies that they move up maybe in some way. I don't know. But we will see. It just really sort of stood out on this card when we got to the middle. And I was sort of like, I feel like I'm still watching sort of like opening matches in some ways.
Yeah, I think they need to get people going up there now, because yeah, now you're totally right.
But as to this match, I was happy to see Ayano and Tatsumi teaming together. That seems like a solid team to sort of have in the tag division. You know, other than that, I thought it was fine.
Yep.
The next match, our final match, our final non-title match, I should say, the two Yukis, I already said the two Yukis, but a different two Yukis. Yuki Arai and Yuki Kamifuku defeating Mizuki and Nao Kakuta in 10 minutes and 38 seconds. Kelly, your thoughts?
I really wish Nao wasn't going away because I like her and Mizuki as a team a lot. And I feel like it was perfect timing to put them together. But, you know, oh well. This Yuki team was really good together. I enjoyed them as a tag team a lot. Overall, fun match. I thought they all kind of worked harder than they needed to. And that led to a pretty good semi-main.
Yeah, I liked it. Also, sad to see Nao Kakuta go. I think she sort of got, a bit, screwed is probably the wrong word, but, I think it put a kink in it when Hikari Noah disappeared.
She got to the peak of her career at that point, and then it was immediately ripped away from her, and that sucks.
Because I think she's really good here. I think she's a perfect mid-card wrestler in that, she could hold the tag titles, but she could have lost them at any time, and it wouldn't really affect her. She doesn't need to win all the time to sort of, keep her heat. So to me, it's sort of that perfect person who can just live in the mid-card, occasionally pop up for a title match that will probably be pretty solid, if not very good. So a big, sort of a bummer of a loss for Tokyo Joshi because they do need a few of those people, and it feels like the people they had in that lane are all gone.
Yep. Really, she feels like the Enin Princess stands for Now. She could have been the Goto of Tokyo Joshi.
The N in Princess stands for Now. Sure. The semi-main event of this show was for the Princess Tag Team titles. The new champions, Daisy Monkey, Arisa Endo, and Suzume, successfully defending their new titles, defeating Himawari and Wakana Uehara in 15 minutes and 1 second. Kelly, thoughts?
I liked this quite a bit. I thought they're still rookies, technically, Himawari and Wakana. I thought they put up a great showing here, but, they still lost decisively, which was good. It goes to your point earlier. They could lose, and it was fine. I thought everyone worked really hard here. I loved the bit in the match when Wakana kind of like outsmarted Endo and Suzume to avoid a double team. I thought that was a really kind of fun flip on that normal tag team match trope. And yeah, just really good match. They all worked, like I said, they all worked hard and felt like they belonged in this spot, which was great to see, especially for the rookie team. I went 4 stars on it.
I was just below you. I went 3.75. I thought it was super fun. Thought everyone came out of it looking good. The crowd was really into it, cheering along. And I thought it was super fun. The one thing that sort of holds it back is that the outcome really, not in doubt. Guess Himawari and Wakana could have won, but seemed unlikely. But just a really good sort of first defense for Daisy Monkey, and I think sort of the exciting thing, I said never really in doubt, but these new champions sort of give a wrinkle that we haven't had before, which is they can lose at any time. When you think about Miyu winning, the title, the Princess of Princess title, there was always sort of a idea of, okay, she's going to win it. She's going to hold it until X amount of time. And so anytime between that future date and now was sort of like, okay, she's going to get some defenses in. She's not going to lose. And then once we get to X point, maybe she'll lose it or maybe she won't. Whereas with, this match, much more the Princess of Princess title, it's sort of like, well, they could lose. You don't know. Mm-hmm. We saw it happen with Mizuki, where it was like she holds the title and then all of a sudden she lost the title. So you don't really know. And I think that adds a fun wrinkle to it. But I thought it was a really cool match. Happy to see Himawari and Wakana do well in this sort of bigger spot. The main event of the show was for the Princess of Princess title, the champion Miyu Watanabe defeating Shoko Nakajima in 21 minutes and 11 seconds. Kelly, I will let you go first.
Tremendous first defense for Miyu. This was like a way more technical match than I was expecting. And it was cool. You had a good styles clash with these two, with the power of Miyu and kind of the high flying of Shoko. And they meshed well together. I thought Nakajima especially stood out in this match because she showed like some crazy body control just in getting like the insane submissions she had on Miyu and kind of just like locking them in while Miyu was standing upwards. And also, you know, that shows off Miyu's strength too. I thought there was some really cool stuff in there. Just it felt intense the whole way through. And, you know, they went out there and killed each other. And I bit on a few near falls. I thought maybe Nakajima was winning it. So, yeah, really great match. I went 4.5 stars. I was super happy with this one. What did you think?
I also really liked it. I thought that, you know, the first half I was sort of like, hey, this is pretty solid. This is pretty good. And then the second half, they just kicked it into another gear, which I thought was really great. I think the fun thing about Miyu is that she has such a different feel from really anyone else in the promotion in terms of her offense and the way that she can take other people's offense in terms of having that power that, you know, other people in the promotion are much more sort of speed based, technical based. She is very much power based. I don't think I've ever seen anyone stop a DDT mid move like she did, which I thought was pretty wild, you know. And my thought on Shoko has always been that I've always thought she's very good, but she's sort of been, if you think about it sort of in terms of the big, you know, Miyu, Yuka, Rika, Mizuki, I guess, and her, she's sort of always been number five just because she's the person sort of I've connected least with. Sort of as a character, but I thought that she was really, like you said, Kelly, really so great here, really worked well. I thought it was awesome. The crowd was really hot again. So I also went 4.5 stars. I will say I looked on Cage Match. It is currently the 11th ranked match of all time in Tokyo Joshi. And it's very funny going through the Cage Match match guide for Tokyo Joshi, because it seems like every show they have, they're putting some show or some match in, you know, the top 10, top 15 matches, which is really pretty crazy.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club, man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, you know, I know you know, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you don't have zero. You have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing slab packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy slab packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to. Why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club slab packs. They're better than those mystery packs because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, You get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? It's a, whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
Yeah, it is kind of wild.
I think I looked maybe last week or 2 weeks ago or something, and I think they have one match from pre-2019 in the top 100 matches in the company on Cage Match, which I'm like, that really shows you the skill level going up. But this was great. Go out of your way to see this one because it was ton of fun and really well worked. What else has been going on in Joshi? Stardom has had a few Golden Week shows. On the third, Ami Sorey beat Natsupoi to become the number one contender for the Wonder of Stardom title. On the fifth, Empress Nexus Venus, the trio of Micah, Mina Shirakawa, and Xena, defeated the Stars trio of Hanan, Mayu Iwatani, and Saeeda to retain the Artist of Stardom titles. And we had a title change. Hazuki and Koguma defeating the Crazy Star duo of Mei Sierra and Suzu Suzuki to win the Goddesses of Stardom titles. There, they then immediately, a week later, just hours ago as we record this, retained the tag titles in their first defense against Azumi and Miyu Amasaki. So that is what has been happening in Stardom, and we'll talk more about them in the upcoming section. Also, a big sort of first match for Marigold happening on Wrestle Magic. Kelly, I know you did watch that one. What did you think about it?
I watched it. So it was Julia, Mai Sakurai, Mirai, and Utami defeating the great Sakuya, Miyuki Takase, Nagisa Nozaki, and Takumi Aroha. It was one of those matches that was well worked, but for whatever reason felt like it was a million years long. So I just didn't connect with me. Like, I was shocked. It went 18-17, which is kind of long for a mid-match multi-person tag, but it felt so much longer. So, I don't know. I'm hoping for better out of them on their own shows.
Which we'll be talking about shortly, speaking of their own shows. Oz also had a show hours ago. Ryo Mizunami and Sona Kokado defeating Team 151, Jaguar Yokota, and Mayumi Osaki to win the tag titles, the Guinness World Record-breaking tag team of Jaguar and Ozaki losing those tag titles. In Sendai Girls, they had a show on May 2nd. Ryu Mizunami and Maname retained the tag titles against Miyuki Takase and Mika Iwata. Sendai Girls also had a show on May 10th. That show is up on Wrestle Universe. I watched a good portion of it. Sendai Girls also, I believe, I haven't seen the page itself, but now I believe Wrestle Universe has individual pages for all of their different promotions. So if you're ever looking specifically for a promotion, I know that they have now have a Sendai Girls page. They have a Marigold page as well on their sites. So easy to find. Kelly, did you, going back to the Tokyo Joshi show, did you cast it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. So I got English commentary, which I hadn't gotten last time, but I found the quality to be very low.
It was not great.
Okay.
I could barely hear Gaia Hawks to the point where every now and then I would hear him and I'd be like, oh shit, that guy's there.
Well, he was also, I think, very quiet.
Okay. So that help anything.
It was a lot of Mr. Haku speaking, which is great. Very knowledgeable. Yeah. But it did at times feel like a one-person booth there. But
yeah, and at times it did sound like he was talking through a towel.
But I think last time we couldn't get the English commentary.
Yeah.
this time we did get it. But I kept thinking, I must be doing something wrong. Why is this quality not great? And I stopped it, started a couple times. Didn't really ever work. It was not anything that took me out of it, but just something where I was sort of confused for a lot of it. Anyway, Ice Ribbon has been continuing their Ice Infinity Determination League. Two matches on May 3rd. Saran gaining 2 points, now has 2 points total, defeating Asuka Fujitaki, who has no points. Hamako Hoshi defeating Misa Kagura to get to 2 points. They had a best friends versus Makoto and Yuki Mashiro match on that show as well. I will also say that Seedling has published a page concerning Risa Nakajima's retirement road, which very helpfully has a list of all of her matches.
Oh, that's cool.
That are coming up, Seedling and outside of Seedling. So I believe they tweeted it recently. Maybe I'll go through and retweet it on the Jumping Bomb audio account if you want to follow along, because she's got matches sort of all over the place as well as in Seedling.
Oh, so on there, did they list her match in Tsukuban coming up?
I don't think they did, but I don't think when I looked at it last time it was announced, because they announced that this morning, right?
Yes.
That she's facing
she is going
against...
to face you, or was it Crusher You?
I believe it's just Crush You.
Oh, Crush You. Okay. That's good. I like that. But yeah, they're going to face off for the title, and boy howdy, who's going to win?
In beautiful Los Angeles.
Wonder if they're going to be under like a parking structure or something.
Probably. Also on May 4th, two time limit draws. Yappy and Yuna Manase went to a time limit draw to get to move to 1 point each, as well as Tsukasa Fujimoto and Arisa Shinose also went to a time limit draw on that show. Diana had their big Korakuen Hall show on April 29th. Lots of title matches there. Naname defeating Zones to retain the Crystal Championship. Shin Sakura Hirota defeated Himiko and Kaori Yoniyama to retain the Elizabeth title. Ayako Sato and Hanako Nakamori defeated Misa Kagura and Unagi Sayaka to retain the tag titles. And making it a clean sweep of retaining, Haruka Umesaki defeating May Sierra to retain the Diana title there.
Really, with that result, we should have known. It's like, oh, Stardom doesn't really care about May Sierra. She can just go out and lose. So she's probably losing those tag titles soon.
In Marvelous Magenta, the team of Maria and Rika Kawahata retained the tag titles against Ryo Mizunami and Sonoko Kato, who could not make it 2-for-2 on title. Tag title wins, and Wave began Catch the Wave. Now, I don't know if I'm losing my mind, but I thought when they first announced Catch the Wave, they were like, and good news, you'll be able to watch it. I don't know if I made that up in like some sort of weird haze of life, But I have no idea if someone knows how to watch it, if there is a way to watch it, let me know.
Maybe they meant you'll be able to watch it in a year on YouTube.
Possibly, because they are still uploading. I believe they are still uploading 2023 Catch the Wave matches to their YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I'd like to watch it. So I haven't said any results because I would love to actually watch it because I always like Catch the Wave. But that is happening now. Of course, before we move on to what is coming up, we have to talk about the Joshi Fantasy League standings. There haven't been any change in the standings. Also, we didn't really talk about it, but I've decided that if a title victory is not on Cage Match, I'm not including it in the results. That's my final ruling on the Iron Man heavy metal weight.
I think that's a good way to do it.
So bringing up the rear as always is Kelly down at 161 points. Kelly, the toughest thing with you, you know, I think probably June is when we will do the one person swap, is that you have four people
who that I could
are all pretty much the same points.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a very tough road to determine who you should get rid of.
Yeah.
Kelly at 161, his wrestlers, Miyu Yamashita at 27 points, Veni at 25, Rina Yamashita at 53, Utami at 28, actually managed to get you a point, even though she's only wrestled one match in the last month and a half. And Takumi Aroha also at 28 for 161. In second place, Liam at 231 points. Sari at 16 points. Suzu Suzuki at 63 points, although just lost her tag title. Chihiro Hashimoto at 41. Unagi Sayaka at 76 points. Sadly lost the JTO Just Tap Out title, but luckily for Liam, lost it to Aoi, who is also Liam's wrestler. So he got 10 points for a title victory. Aoi at 35 points. That's 231. And then still in the lead at 240 points. That would be yours truly, me. Saya Kamatani at 37 points, Miyuki Takase at 70 points, Ibuki Hoshi. Now here's the funny thing as well, and I'm so sorry to pick on you, Kelly, but Ibuki Hoshi has not wrestled a single match in nearly 2 months. Her last match was March 23rd, and yet she is outscoring four of the five wrestlers that Kelly has.
Like, I don't know how this is happening.
With 29 points, you...
Me?
Is at the top, is at the top of my list with 72 points, and Miyu Watanabe getting a nice 6 points for her title defense at 32 points. So, still close between me and Liam, and still time for Kelly. Maybe in that mid period, he can hunt down someone who's going to earn him dozens of points every week and catch up with us.
It's Sakura Hirota.
She loses a lot, though.
But she wins a lot, too.
I guess. I mean, it's your pick. I'm not going to stop you.
I'm gonna have to do more research, but she's like the front runner for me right now of people, because she wins titles too.
I guess she does defend the Elizabeth title quite a lot. That could get you.
And then she loses it, but then wins it back like immediately too.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't think about that aspect of it. So we'll see, but that will probably be, I don't know. Let me look at. Well, let's make a determination right now. That will probably be on the June 10th episode, I think, is probably when we'll do that. Because that's just about halfway through June. and halfway through the year. So,
like right now, I think I'm dropping Miyu. Because I don't, she's not doing much of anything. Vaney at least has the potential to pick up titles somewhere. She just fucking doesn't. But Miyu's just off on her Odyssey in America doing a whole lot of nothing. Utami, I'm hoping they just park a bunch of like random, like they just make a singles title for Utami to have in Marigold.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty likely that Utami, if not, you know, will at least be contending. You would think they would have at least one title in Marigold.
Yeah.
And you would have to think Utami would be at the top of the list of contenders, I would think. Yeah. So that is the Joshi Fantasy League standing. What is coming up in Stardom? Well, Stardom has a big show coming up next weekend, Flashing Champions on May 18th. Now, I have four matches. However, about an hour ago, some news broke on Twitter, and I will read this. This is from the official We Are Stardom Twitter account. President Okada discusses Flashing Champions card changes on May 18th. We've already announced the card for Flashing Champions at Yokohama Budokan, but due to the health of some wrestlers, we'll be reorganizing the show appropriately. Huh. Matches that were announced earlier as finalized will be determined as currently planned in case of future developments. Thank you for your understanding. So we are going to talk about the four matches that are on the Stardom website. I guess now we'll discuss them with the caveat that maybe none of these matches occur.
Are we entering another period of oops, everybody's hurt again at Stardom?
I don't know. I would think at least one of these matches would be happening, seeing as it was announced less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
But we'll see. The first one, the high-speed title, Saya Kamatani defending against Saya Iida. That was sort of the match that we asked for.
Yeah, when, cool.
Kamatani won the title, so seems like a good match to me.
Yeah, I'm into this.
What could be the match of the show, the best friends, Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto, will come to Stardom to face off against Mayu Iwatani and Hanan in a special tag match. That one should be very good. I wonder slash I hope that Arisa, now that she's retiring, is just going to go nuts in every match.
Yeah.
Because that would be good. Also, as we talked about earlier, Ami Sorey winning the number one contender match, so we'll be facing off against Sayori Yano for the Wonder of Stardom title. And just announced last night on AEW Collision, it will be a TBS title match, Willow Nightingale defending against Tom Nakano. Kelly, what are your thoughts on this TBS title match being on this show?
It's a cool match, but it comes at a horrible time because it's obviously going to be some sort of screwy finish or just a time limit draw, because you're not going to have Willow lose just days before the pay-per-view where she has a match against Mercedes Moné for that very title. And yeah, you're not just going to hotshot Tom versus Mercedes out of nowhere.
I do like the idea that the two titles in AEW history that had, you know, 60-minute time limit draws would be the AEW title and the TBS title.
Well, this will only be a 30-minute, right?
I don't know. Is it 30-minute? What is the AEW title time limit? I would think it would be 60.
Maybe, but I would assume it's gonna, they'll just announce it as 30 in Stardom.
But I do agree with you. I think it is a fun match, but it's very weird putting it 1 week before this gigantic match that you've announced. Love the idea of Tom winning and randomly showing up, you know, on Dynamite with like 2 days to the pay-per-view to be like, we're having a title match.
Yeah.
That would be very funny, but just seems like, I don't know. I guess now that, you know, I didn't think about this when it was announced, I do wonder if this was put together in the last few days with them knowing like, oh, people are injured. We need some matches here.
That could be. Yeah.
Now that they've announced, oh, you know, card changes, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what that entails, but maybe they were like, oh, panic, please do something for us. Because that's really the only way it makes sense, because it's like, why would this title defense be happening 1 week before the AEW pay-per-view?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that makes sense.
So we will have to see, but some fun matches there. Hopefully all of them happen, or most of them happen. But we'll have to see next week on Flashing Champions. Seedling has a show on May 17th. The main event will be a six-person match. Rina Yamashita, Tsukasa Fujimoto, and Arisa Nakajima will face off against Makoto, Veni, and Nagisa Nozaki. Seri will face off against Misa Kagura in a non-title match. La Pedida and Ka Kedida will face off against Ayami Sasamura and Natsu Sumire. And the new seedling rookie, Miria Kogo, will take on Itsuki Aoki. In Oz, they have a show on May 26th, but nothing announced yet. Tokyo Joshi has a show on May 18th. There will be a Yuki Kamifuku versus Alexis Lee match. That will be for both the Queen of Asia and the VPW, which I believe stands for Vietnam Pro Wrestling, double title match. Yuki Kamifuku is the champion, holds both of those titles, and this match will be for both of those titles. Alexis Lee, really a very popular option for anyone going to Singapore, any Joshi wrestlers going to Singapore to face off against, and is now coming to Japan to try and win those titles back. Probably one of the biggest shows of the next 2 weeks, the debut of Marigold.
Oh, great pronunciation.
Yes, thank you. Well, we were almost immediately corrected. I believe hours after we posted the first information about the promotion that it is Marigold and not Marigold. But who knows? I'll probably say it both ways on this podcast from time to time. But on May 20th, they have the show Marigold Fields Forever. See, that's the other problem, is now in order to say it Marigold, I feel like I have to do a strange accent.
Especially because they're talking about it as though it's the flowers. Like, it's Marigold. That's how you say the flower name.
Yeah. Marigold.
It's no different than the fucking people who talk about Japanese Spider-Man and always feel the need to call Spider-Man in like a fucking cringy ass accent. And it's like, bro, no, that's just how they say Spider-Man in Japan. Just say Spider-Man.
So, Marigold.
I'm shooting.
Yeah, you really are. but the card is as follows. It will be Nanai Takahashi taking on Victoria Yuzuki. I'm sure Kelly will be there with his bells on to watch some passion be injected there.
Oh, I'm going to feel so much passion watching this passion injection match.
Kelly, you will never escape the passion.
I never can. It'll never go away.
Miko Aono will take on Nao Ishikawa. Mirai will take on Chiaki
in power battle, they're calling that one.
And in the battle of people who put their names in all caps, even though they're not abbreviations for anything, Mai Sakurai and Zeta Steel will take on Nagisa Nozaki and Myla Grace. You know, some people in that match. I know Nagisa Nozaki, interestingly enough, appears to be a freelancer, I believe.
It seems to be.
Also, Natsumi Shizuki and Misa Matsui will take on Amore Koki and Chika Goto. And the main event will see Utami teaming with Julia to take on Seri and Bozilla.
Bozilla.
Did you see the Bozilla promo, Kelly?
Oh, shit. No, I didn't.
Yeah, there's a Bozilla promo, and everything that comes out about Bozilla is more and more like, yes, this person is Rossi's dream. Like, the way they look, the way they speak, it's everything that's like, yes, this person would have been in Stardom in 2015.
Yeah.
You know, losing a title match to Io Shirai in front of 45 people.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm surprised that Rossi wasn't just throwing money at Camille.
But Camille is tall, but Camille is not like a hoss in that way that I think of, like, alpha female.
True.
She's more like, I don't know the word to describe it, but she's like jacked.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, when I think of, like, Rossi's faves, I think of them as powerful, but I don't think, oh, they're totally jacked.
Mm-hmm.
So, but who knows, now that she's in AEW, maybe she'll come over. Oh, no, she'd go to Stardom. So never mind. Wow, I'm still in the old world of, like, yeah, Rossi's still in Stardom. It's going to take a while. But also, who knows with AEW? In 2 months, the whole thing with Stardom could fall apart.
Yeah.
So who's to say? Kelly, looking forward to Marigold Fields Forever?
I am. I think they got a sold-out show, from what I understand. So it should be a hot crowd. Should be. You assume everyone's going to work hard with this being the first show. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
I think at the very worst, it will be very interesting. I mean, this is really the biggest, you know, launch of a full-time promotion that we've had in, gosh, what was the last? I mean, there really haven't been any. There have been, like, the joint shows, but those are different.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Should be interesting. And of course, leading to bigger shows. I saw some people talking about the card saying, oh, it's sort of disappointing, but it's their first show. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, getting established and leading into, you know, trying to sell bigger shows. So
I think if anything, doing the X's in the main event was a mistake because it set up people's expectations to be way higher than they should have been.
Yeah.
Because there is the tiny bit where your brain was like, shit, it might be Io and Kairi showing up. But, like, that was never going to happen. But there was that little bit in your brain that thought it might.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very true. Yeah. Ice Ribbon has a show at Ueno Park on May 19th, and I will simply read the description of the show from the Ice Ribbon website. Now is the time to show your Saitama pride. Breaking through the prefectural border Kawaguchi and shaking the Keihin Tohoku line, the Saitama army, which has moved south to Ueno, clashes with the Tokyo army, which has captured major cities across the country under its control. The Ice Ribbon Ueno tournament has caused a lot of chaos, with people playing baseball, eating frankfurters and cucumbers, and getting soaked. In 2024, held for the first time in a while, a local love showdown that is an homage to a certain movie has been decided. What kind of rules and what kind of professional wrestling will be developed this year? Kelly, your thoughts?
You know, I do love when people eat frankfurters in my wrestling. What a show. This puts asses in the seats. I gotta go to this. I'm booking a ticket right now.
I'm curious as to what a local love showdown that is an homage to a certain movie. They're going to do a notebook.
Godzilla
style,
minus one.
A notebook homage. So anyway, we'll see. But I saw that description. There's no card announced, obviously. But I saw that description.
Who needs a card?
And found it interesting.
Who needs a card when you have that?
Also, Diana will have a show on May 26. Haruka Umasaki will defend her Diana title, recently retained against May Sierra, will defend against Tay Hanma. Catch the Wave will continue in Pro Wrestling Wave. And probably the other big show coming up in the next 2 weeks is the fourth Hanakamura Memorial Show. The card is as follows: a mixture of Joshi wrestlers and non-Joshi wrestlers, but the whole card is Rina taking on Yuna. Yuka Miyamoto and Dash Chizako will face Masato Tanaka and Ryo Mizunami in a hardcore match. Super Delphine, Super Shiza, and Mensore Oyagi will take on Aja Kong, Ram Kaichou, and Jinsei Shinsaki. Veni will face off against Julia. Tatsuhito Senga, Tsutomu Osugo, Fuminori Abe, Minori Sawa, Shotaro Ashino, Sego Tachibana, Cherry, Hanako Nakamori, Tsukasa Fujimoto, Sakura Hirota, and Yumiko Hoda will be in a battle royal. Boy, that was a tough go for me. A lot of names that I don't say every episode,
yeah,
where I'm like, I know this person, and now I have to say their name out loud. And the final match will be a 9-person three-way match. Shuri Konami and Sayori Ano will face off against Mika Iwata, Chihiro Hashimoto, and Miyuki Takase, and Kiori Yonayama, Seri, and Mio Momono. So, looks to be a fun card. The Hanakamura shows are always very nice and well done. Kelly, is there a match you're looking forward to? I see a match sort of sticking out, but interested to see if you picked that one.
Is it the hardcore match?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that one I'm super excited for. Also, Vaney versus Julia.
Yeah, should be very good and a fun show. I think last year, what was the main event again that got Match of the Year votes? Didn't you vote for it, Kelly?
Am I
misremembering it?
I might
it was
have. I don't.
Cherry versus Venny?
That sounds right, and I think yes.
So
that was a full year ago. That's like 10 yeah. years in current times.
It's out of the brain.
Yeah.
But that
I feel like we exist in dog years now. Where it's like every year is like 7.
Yeah. And things that happened 1 month ago feel like they happened 18 years ago.
Yeah.
But that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. So I will hand it over to Kelly for his usual Kelly's Corner segment.
So number one, I would say if it's nice out, go outside. That's always good. I like doing that. But also fire up your Netflix machine and look up the live action City Hunter movie. Just dropped, I believe, like a week or two ago. Very fun movie. Really good action scenes and just a fun, good time. Highly recommended.
What would you recommend they do first? Go outside or watch that movie?
Go outside. You got time in your day. Go outside.
All right.
I'm not
going
to say touch grass. I'm not going to be that guy, but like, you know, go outside.
No, I mean, if you want to touch grass,
you can touch all the grass you want, but I'm not going to require you to do it.
Yeah. But that is everything for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So for Kelly, my name is Taylor, saying farewell, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Podcasting Network.